Okay, this year is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Shein Bas Yisrael. Can you guys hear me? Okay, hello? Do you want me to hold the mic? I absolutely can. Okay. So, this week, Yud Al Cheshvan is Rachel Yemina's Yahrzeit. So I wanted to just, you know, try to understand a little bit. We have four imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, but we only have one mama.
We do have to say again that it's
Le'ilui Nishmas Sheina Bas Yisrael. Okay, so this upcoming week is Rachel Yemina's Yahrzeit, Yud Al Cheshvan. And I wanted to try to understand during this year why we call specifically Rachel Yemina Mama Rachel, right? We have Sarah, we have Rivka, we have Leah, and yet we only have one Mama. Again, there are source sheets, but it's not necessary. Some people like to follow, some people, you know, get a little intimidated by it, so if you don't want it, you just turn it over. Not necessary. Okay, so if we look at the end of, actually, Parshas Vayishlach, which is actually the end of Rachel Yemina's life, which is source number one in Bereishis, Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Hey. The pasuk tells us, "Vayisumi Beit El, Vayihi Od Kivrat Haaretz Lavo Efrasa, Vatileid Rachel Vatikash Validita." That Rachel is about to give birth. They're on the way. They're traveling, and she's having trouble in her delivery. Vayi Bekasha Tabel Dita, Vatomer Laham Mieladet. Alter E Kikam Zel Lachven. So the midwife turns to her and she says, "Don't worry, because this too will be a child, a son." And it was at that point in time, it was very difficult, and at the point that she was literally about to die, her soul was about to leave her body, what does she do? She names this child Ben-Oni, and Yaakov, the father, calls him Binyamin. And in that place, that's where she dies, on the way to Ephrat, which is outside Beit Lechem. Vayetzev Yaakov Maseva al Kirota, ki Masevet Kruat Rachel Hayayom. And what does Yaakov do? He puts up a tombstone, he puts up a monument. This is the place that Rachel Yemina was buried, that we know till today. And there the Medrash Bereishis Rabba comments, Vatamat Rachel Vatikaber Baderech Ephrat. Ma Ra'a Avinu Yaakov looked for Rachel Baderech Ephrat. Why did Yaakov Avinu bury her on the way, right? She's not even yet in the city, but he sees fit to bury her specifically in that place on the way, Baderech. Ella tzapha Yaakov Avinu, shahagaliot asidos la'avorsham. But Yaakov Avinu foresaw that in the future, the Bnei Yisrael would be exiled, and they would pass that very spot, lefichach kavrasham, kedeshet tehein nevakeshes aleihem rachamim. Therefore, he specifically buried her there. He did not move her to the city, but he left her in that specific spot because he knew that Bnei Yisrael would pass that way, and he wanted her to be able to daven for them, to ask for mercy, to ask for compassion. Hadahu zechtiv, like the famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Kol berama nishma, nihi bechit hamarim, Rachel mevaka abaneha. A voice on high is heard. Rachel is crying for her children. In fact, this is actually something that Yaakov feels necessary to explain to Yosef before he dies. If you look at source 3, Yaakov's giving Yosef instructions that he does not want to be, you know, that he does not want to be buried in Mitzrayim. So he says, "Vani bavo," but he understands that perhaps Yosef feels a little bit uncomfortable with this because if he thinks back to his beloved mother, you know, she was kind of left on the way. Maybe perhaps he feels like she was left hanging. So what does he say to him? Va'ani bevoi mepadan meisa lai Rachel ba'aretz gina ba'derech ba'od kivras aretz lavo efrasa ve'ekirasham ba'derech efrasa hi beis lechem. And it was on the way that she died and I buried her there. And there Rashi comments, Va'af api sheni matriach alecha loholicheinu likaber ba'aretz gina v'lo kein asiti li'imecha. Even though I'm being matriach you, I'm asking you to go out of your way not to bury me here in Mitzrayim, to take me up to Eretz Yisrael. But I didn't do the same thing for your mother, Shaharei Samach le'Beis Lechem Mesa, that she died next to Beis Lechem. The Ekberosham. And that's actually where I buried her. I didn't even take her into the city. I buried her there in that very spot. And I know that you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe you feel ill will towards me that I left your mother on the road, that I didn't bring her into the city, that I didn't give her that burial that you perhaps think she deserves. But know that it wasn't happenstance, because al pi hadibor, it was through the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I buried her there. Why? La azrez levaneha sheyagela osam nevorazan veyehe ovrim derech sham, so that she should be able to help her children, because when Nebuzaradan exiles them, they're going to pass that place. And what's going to happen? She's going to leave her burial place and she's going to go out and she's going to beg for mercy for her children. Shana Amar, like the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, that she goes out and she cries for her children. And what does Hashem answer to her? Yesh sachar lefulosech me'um Hashem, v'shavu banim levulam. There is reward for you, Rachel. What's going to happen because of you? Your children are going to once again return to their boundaries. They're going to once again come back to Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore we see that it wasn't, according to this, it wasn't happenstance, but rather it was an order for Rachel Imenu to be able to ask for mercy for her children. To beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to once again return them to Eretz Yisrael when they go down to exile. But ladies, this is not the only place in Tanakh that we find that Rachel Imenu's burial place is discussed. In fact, if you look in Parshas Vayesay, in Perek Lamed, we have the famous story of Reuven and the Dudaim. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayelech Reuven bimei ketzir chitim, he goes out in the days of the harvest, Vayimtza Dudaim besadeh, and he finds these Dudaim, these wildflowers, Vayaveh osam elei imo, and he brings them to Leah, his mother. Vatomar Rachel Aleya, and Rachel turns to her sister Leah and she says, Sinina li miduze ebenech, can you please share these dudaim with me? Can you give me some of the dudaim of your son? Vatomer la, and what does Leah respond to Rachel? Hamaat kach techer ishi velakach gam et dudaim ebeni. It's not enough that you took my husband's, now you want to take the dudaim of my son? Vatomer Rachel. So what does Rachel respond? Okay. L'chein yishkav yimcha halayla tachas duda ebenech. So let's make an exchange. Yaakov was supposed to be in my tent tonight. He'll be in your tent. And then you'll give me in exchange, what? The dudaim, the wildflowers from your son. And there Rashi comments. And what does he say? L'chein yishkav yimcha halayla. Shalichai tashkivad layla zu. It was my turn this night, Rachel says. Va'ani nudna la tachas duda ebenech. And I'm going to give the night to you in exchange for these dudaim. Vilafi shezil zilav mishkav hatzadik, because she was mizalzel spending the night with Yaakov, because she denigrated this holy tzadik or this ability to have him in her tent that night, lo zachta lihi kaverimo, she did not merit to be buried with him. Seems strange, right? On the one hand, we spoke about how Rachel is specifically buried in that place for a positive reason. Rachel is going to be the one who's going to be able to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of her children. And yet now we have another story in Tanakh which seems to not view this in such a positive light, right? It seems that perhaps it was like a punishment, right? Is it positive or is it negative? And how is this Mida Keneged Mida for giving up the night and having this exchange with the Dudaim? Why, therefore, does she not deserve, or is she not buried with Yaakov? And I think that in order to understand this, we really need to understand the dialogue between Rachel and Leah. And we know that Rachel, at this point, she's an akara. She's barren. She has no children. And Leah has four children. But at this point also, has stopped having children, as the Pasuk tells us, v'atamod miledes. Okay? And Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp, in his Sefer Vayavinu B'Mikra, he explains the story or this dialogue as the following. He says, source number 7, V'hineh kasher matzav v'nashaleah sh'amzal mi'lelid es hadudaim, And it was at this point when Reuven found these dudaim, which many mafarshim explain as some sort of fertility drug. Some chama od bahem. Leah was extremely happy. Why? Ki hinei ena dalid ena dudaim leid askula habanim shetuchala lead od. Right. And now with these dudaim, with this fertility drug, Leah, who already had four children but was not currently having any more, would be able to have more children. Leah so desperately wanted more children. Why? She wanted to come to that point of Yizabuni Ishi, which she names Gulan for, that my husband will accompany me. He will be by me. Which she so desperately wanted. What did Leah want? She wanted Yaakov's place, his main place, to be by her. She wanted that extra love and affection that she felt that Rachel had. Ubazeh ba'ar Rachel. And so now, what happens? Rachel comes. Ubikshamimena etzulazu lema'ana. And now her sister Rachel comes to her and says, well, can you share it with me? I really need children. Ba'asher hi ein la'yiladim klal, right? She has nothing. She has no children whatsoever. So what does Leah respond? Va'alzeh hi shiva lo Leah kach. It's not enough that you take my husband. Now you want these dudaim, this fertility drug, these wild flowers from my son. Hello, Yaakov kava aholo etzel Rachel. Shehi haitai haikari etzlo. Right? Where was Yaakov's main place? Yaakov had four wives, but his main place was by Rachel. She was the ikar. She was the main wife. Apapi shaleah hayala hayaladim. Even though Leah was the wife that gave him the most children. Leah had four children. Ubazeh haitel lehem hachaluka. Shemishkino shel Yaakov etel Rachel. V'leah yesh yiladim. Sherak ba'uran ina migarsha. Leah felt like, we have this division. We have this divide. Rachel, you get the love. You get that extra affection. But I have the children. And because I have the children, that's the reason why Yaakov's not going to get rid of me. That's why he's not divorcing me. And so therefore, why does she want these children so badly? Because she wants Yaakov to add love to her. She wants more. And she also wants her tent to be his main place. She wants to feel that attention and love as well. I'm going backwards. Right? So what does Leah feel like? Oh my goodness, I stopped having kids. If I give you the dudaim, you will not only have the love from Yaakov, you will not only be the mainstay, but you'll also have the kids. And Leah felt, oh no, at this point in time, you're going to have everything. You're going to have the love, you're going to have the children, and I'm going to be hated. I'm going to be left with nothing. So we see that Leah, that Rachel is the Akara. If you look at source number 8, she's the Akara, but yet she's the Ikara. That's what the Medrash Rabba says. And Rus Rabba. She was barren of the children, but she was the mainstay of the home. But if you look in source number 9, Leah, in contrast, was Akara min Habayit. She was barren of the home, yet she was the one who had all of the children. And you see that this was really Leah's deepest, darkest desire. She really wanted to be the mainstay. She wanted to be the primary recipient of Yaakov's love. And you see this in the way she names her children. If you look, Bereshis Parshas Vayetze Perek Chaf Tes, Matahar Leah Matelei Ben. She's pregnant, she has a son. What does she call him? Reuven. Ki Amra, Ki Ra'a Hashem Ba'ani, Ki Ataya Aguni Ishi. Hashem saw my affliction, and now what's going to happen that I had this child? My husband's going to love me. And she continues. And then she has another son, and she says, "Ki shama Hashem, ki snua anofi." Hashem saw that I was hated, so he gave me another child. And what does she call him? And again, now my husband's going to accompany me. Why? I now have three children. Al kein kara shmo Levi, and therefore she called him Levi. And that's really what Leah wanted. But Rachel, on the other hand, she was barren. And what did she so desperately desire? She wanted children. So much so that if you look what she says to Rachel, to Yaakov, in Parshas Vayitzi, Perek Lamed, Vatayri Rachel ki lo yolda Yaakov. And she sees that she wasn't able to have any children for Yaakov. Vatekane Rachel ba'achosa. And she's jealous of her sister. Vatomer el Yaakov. And she says to Yaakov, Havali banim, ve'im ayin mesa anokhi. Please give me children, because if not, what? I'm considered dead. I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm worthless. What does she so desperately desire? What does she want? She wants children. And therefore, according to Rav Karp, Rachel answers Leah, source number 12. Va'alzehi shiva Rachel tshuva no'ra'a. Lachin yishkav imcha halayla tachat judei b'naich. Therefore, we'll make an exchange. Yaakov will be with you tonight in exchange for the Zudan. She'etzli habanim adifim min habal. She'im ayin mesa anochi. She'im ha'ikar. She says, let's make the exchange. Because what's the most important thing for me, Rachel says? My children. Because without them, I'm nothing. I feel as if I'm dead. V'ani muchana levater al hamishkav va'ochel im habal l'mad ha'yiladim. And I'm willing to forgo this place. I'm willing to forgo being with Yaakov in order for what? In order to have children. Tachatu de'ei b'naich. Nimsa shavikuach haya l'rachel im leya. Ma'adif habal o ha'yiladim. L'rachel adifim ha'yiladim. V'leya adif mishkan habal. Seems that they were having a debate. What was most important? Leah felt the most important thing was Yaakov and the relationship. And Rachel felt, no, what's the most important thing to me? Children. And with this, when we understand the debate, when we understand their approaches, we can now understand what Chazal said and what they meant, that because she was mezalzel in Yaakov's kavod, or not mezalzel in the ability to be with Yaakov, that what? She wasn't zocha, she didn't merit to be able to be buried with him. He guba hatam shalidata binyan adifi ach al haba'al. Because what? To Rachel, having children was more important to me, even more than being with Yaakov. V'hainu shaharei mashenik bora Rachel al haderech efra kemosha amar Yaakov Yosef v'parsha sayeshev al pi hadivar furata sham bederech efra k'shehabanim yatzu legalut yavru derech kibra v'hitehe ma'ami ma'atirat ba'adam u'bezchuta yivashu k'dechtiv. And therefore, that's why she was buried on the way. Because she would have the ability, when her children would go out to exile, to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them. And that's what the Pasuk says, a voice on high is heard, Kol Berama Nishma, Rachel Mevakah Baneha. V'omer la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Yesh Sachar L'Kula Seich V'Shavu Banim L'Gulam. Hashem says to Rachel, there is reward for your actions. V'Shavu Banim L'Gulam. Your children will return to their boundaries. They'll return to Eretz Yisrael. Nimsasha Rachel he holechat im habanim legalus levada. We see that it seems that Rachel is going herself with her children to Galus. Ki Rachel bayim hatzom, because Rachel's going with the children. V'lachei mozach tali kaveri mo l'fisha l'Rachel ha'ikar habanim ha'yiladim. Because for her, the most important thing is her children, and therefore she was not buried with him. Zegufa hatam shenikbarab beit lechem velo in Yaakov Avinu v'zohi hamida mamash memadei Rachel ba'atma. This is what Rachel asks and wants so desperately for herself. I'll give up the night with Yaakov. I'll give up. It's not just the night, ladies. She gave up being buried with Yaakov, being with him for all of eternity. For what? For her children. To be able to have children and to be able to beg and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? For their safety. for rachamim, so that they should come back whole, so that they should once again be returned to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, for all of eternity, who's buried with Yaakov? Leah. Because for Leah, what was the most important thing? The relationship with the husband. But Rachel, where was she buried? Baderech. Why? Because the most important thing for Rachel was to be buried with her, to have children, and to be able to be there for her children, and to be able to care for her children, and to go with her children to Galus. And this is who Rachel was. First and foremost, she was a mama whose only concern is her children. And therefore, she not only gave up her place that night with Yaakov, but she gave up her place for all of eternity to be next to Yaakov. In fact, the last thing that Rachel does is give birth to a child, literally giving her own life for it. If you look in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Hey, the passage that we read, she's having her second child, and it's difficult. And she's having difficulty, and the midwife says, "No, no, don't worry. This is also a son." And then what happens? She dies while having this child. That's Roshimol Ben Oni, and she calls him Ben Oni. And there, the Malbim comments. We see how much Rachel desired children that she came to the point she said, if I don't have children, I'm as if I'm dead. And when she comes to the point that she's literally on her deathbed, what happens? She wasn't even paying attention to her own situation. She wasn't even paying attention to the fact that what? She might die in the next few seconds. Rock your up, pen al yidei kishoy haleda yiyah havlad nafel. O peni who built ben payama. What was Rachel's only concern when she was about to die? Was she concerned about her own life? Was she concerned if she would make it? No. She was concerned for the child. Would the child survive? Would the child be a ben kayama? Would the child live? Batamar la hamialedes. And so what does the mialedes, what does the midwife say to her? Al tiri mizeh, ki gam zeh lecha ben. Rotzeh lamar, ben kayama haraui legadlo. So the midwife is telling her, when she's dying, don't worry. This son is a ben shel kayama. This son is going to make it. That was Rachel's concern when she was dying. She wasn't afraid of her own death. She wasn't afraid of what was going to happen to her. She was afraid what will be with this child. So much so that while she was dying, what does she think about? He da'ata al hanolad l'kar'o b'shem, continuing in the Malbim, v'kar'a b'shemo ben oni. What's she thinking about? What am I going to name this child? Not what's going to happen to me. What's going to be of me? But what am I going to give this child? What name am I going to give? And what does she give him? What's the name? V'karashimo ben oni. She calls him ben oni. Some translate it as the son of my affliction. But that's not how the Malbim translates it. He says, Rotzelomar ben kochi, the son of my strength. Shekochi natano ki hi meita ayado. Because she gave him every last ounce of her strength, so that he should live. She literally gave her life to this child so that he could go on. And therefore she calls him Ben Oni, the son of my strength. The Aviv, and what does Yaakov call him? Ben Yamin. Shebi Yamin imsa ha'on v'hakoach. Why does he call him Ben Yamin? Because the right hand is the hand of the strength. He's referring to the strength of Rachel Imenu. And that's what she's so concerned with at the moment that she's about to die. I found such a beautiful article. I took part of it. If you want to look into the rest, you can. From a woman, actually a Chabad Shlucha in Ukraine. And I couldn't have said it better, so I'd just like to share it with you. She says, in a selfless act of love, Rachel taught her sisters the private signals that she and her betrothed had arranged, finalizing the destiny. Yaakov, of course, eventually discovered the deception. And sometime after the wedding, an identical one occurred, only this time, Rachel was the bride. Yet for the rest of her life, Rachel would not be her husband's only wife. As great as this act of sacrifice was, Rachel would perform yet a greater one. Years later, Rachel gave birth to her second son. It was a difficult childbirth, one that she sacrificed her life for. Our matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and even Eve were buried in the hallowed caves in the hills of Hebron, the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. Buried alongside them were their husbands, Avram, Yitzchak, and Uzzah. Eventually, Yaakov and Leah would also be laid to rest in this holy spot. Rachel would have loved to lay beside Yaakov in his holiest spots for all eternity. As Yaakov's primary and most beloved wife, it was within her rights to be buried beside her husband in place of Leah. Yet Rachel, the ultimate Jewish mother, gave up this privilege for the future of her children. Rachel, a righteous and holy woman, had the ability to foresee events in the future. She saw before her eyes a vision of her children, the Jewish people some 1,200 years hence. At that time, the Jewish people would be living in the Holy Land Israel. Alas, she saw they would sin and sin and sin repeatedly, compelling God to punish them. God would destroy the magnificent temple and banish his people into exile. Rachel envisioned the route her children would take. In her mind's eye, she saw hundreds of thousands of Jews shackled and broken in spirit, being led by the Babylonian general Nebuzaradan back to his homeland. There, he'd be able to show off the success of his battles. This sad procession, Rachel saw, would lead the weary Jews directly past the road where she lay now on her final moments on earth. If I am buried here, she thought, my children will be able to stop at my grave and pray to the one above. Maybe in my merit, he will answer their heartfelt prayers. And so for the sake of her sinning great-grandchildren, many, many years in the future, Jews who would sin so greatly that they would need to be exiled, Rachel asked not to be buried in the cave of Machpelah with her husband and illustrious ancestors. No, she would give all that up and stay here alone where she'd be able to help her children. Her husband Yaakov heeded her request. Rachel was buried at the side of the road, and a monument was set up, marking the spot for posterity. God saw Rachel's selfish sacrifice, epitomizing the quality found in all women. She focused only on her children. Standing in the background, she let others get the honor and the credit while doing what was required. God watched proudly and took note. Years later, Rachel's prophecy came to pass. The Jewish people indeed, unfortunately, succumbed to their evil inclinations. They worshipped idols and ignored the pleas of the prophets. God indeed sent the Babylonians to destroy the temple and bring the Jews back with them to Babylonia. And just as she had foreseen, the broken, desperate Jews crowded around Rachel's grave and cried their hearts out. In heaven, a huge tumult ensued as our holy ancestors pleaded before God to save the Jewish people. Yet God remained silent and turned a deaf ear to their pleas. Suddenly, amidst all the noise, a wail pierced through the heavens. Mama Rachel, hearing her children's cries, began weeping bitterly for her children. She was inconsolable. Her children were in pain. Yes, they had sins. Yes, they even deserved what was coming to them. But they were her children. Rachel, the epitome of a Jewish mother, could not relax until her children were helped. And God, who ignored the requests of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, God, who didn't listen to Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, when he heard Rachel's pleas, could no longer remain hard-hearted. Enough, he lovingly ordered Mama Rachel. Dry your tears. You requested not to be buried in Hebron, where you'd be able to lay in peace and holiness for all times. Since you relinquished your rightful place in the cave of Machpelah in order to help your children, I too will relinquish my honor and help them too. Your children will not remain exiled forever. They will eventually return to their lands. With these words, God altered his holy plan, rescinding his initial decree. And stillness reigned in heaven once again. Mama Rachel, our ever-loving mother, could now relax. Her children were being looked after. Well, there's different ways to look at the Medrash, so that's one way for sure. But we're looking at it from the aspect of Rachel as the mother. But you're 100% right. But there's a lot of ways to understand and interpret that. Well, it's not so clear because the Hashem says, Yesh Sachar L'Fu'ula Seif, which is what we're going to see. Give me one second, because the next piece that we're going to read from the Lubavitch Rebbe actually addresses some of what you're saying. You're saying that she ignored the fact that she gave up the Siman for her sister, but you know, the pasuk that in Yirmiyahu says, "Yesh sachar lefu'ulaseich," for your action. It's not really necessarily so clear to us what action that was. Most of us understand it, or a lot of them mafarshim of what she did in terms of the simanim. But if you look, and so the Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Lukutil Sichos, he explains that the burial was in fact Rachel's outstanding deed. And in Parshas Vayechi, he writes this when Yaakov is explaining to Yosef why he buried Rachel Baderach. And if you look, it says, Zeshe kavar et Rachel Baderach al pi hadibor shetehela azra levaneha v'chulei ein hakavaneh bazesh negra mirachel b'shio tova baneha ela adraba kivan shezehu gulat baneha shal rachel ga'alat baneha shal rachel The Rebbe says that this is not a gnai that she wasn't buried with Yaakov, but this is actually what she would have wanted. Mama Rachel would have wanted to be able to be buried on the road so that she could be there for her children. The Yeshomar, Shizuhi Kavanat Rashi Bavioa Hakatov, Bakadash Baruch Meshiva, Yesh Sachar Lefu'ulaseich Me'um Hashem. And he says this is actually the intention of Rashi by bringing the pasuk from Yirmiyahu that we quoted, Yesh Sachar Lefu'ulaseich. There is reward for your deeds. A pu'ula is a deed, Me'um Hashem. Ve'inu maskir shum pu'ula shal rachal. But yet, it's not clear to us, it's not explained, what exactly was the pu'ula? What was the action of rachal that she's being rewarded for? That this, what was the pu'ula that Rachel did that she's being rewarded for? That she's being buried on the side of the road. That she's willing to give up her place with Yaakov for all of eternity to be able to be there for her children. And therefore it's her cries that are heard because she was willing to sacrifice everything for her children. And that's what the Rebbe says, that was the great pu'ula of Rachel. The place that she chose to be buried in order to help her children. And that's why Yaakov did it. Because this was Rachel's raton. This is what she wanted. This was her desire. It's specifically Rachel's beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy that has the power, that has the ability to bring her children back to their boundaries. The schutz pu'ula zu, in merit of this action, that she is willing to give up this chosh of a spot in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, so that she could be a help for her children. She's willing to give up it all for her children, and therefore, she is the one who is able to ask for rachamim, because she's willing to sacrifice it all, even things that are for her, this special spot, Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, with her husband, with all the matriarchs, with all the patriarchs. And this is why she wanted to do it. And this is why Hashem told Yaakov, because this was Rachel's will. This was her desire. And this was her great pe'ula, her great deed, that because of it, she was able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy on our children. And this is what Yaakov saw on his first encounter with Rachel. Parshas Vayetze, Perichas Tess, Odenu Medaber Imam VeRachel Ba'im Hatzon, Asher La'aviyah Kirahi, right? Yaakov's by the well, and Rachel comes with the sheep. Right? Yaakov sees her and he approaches her, etc. And what happens? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishak Yaakov Rachel. He kisses her. Vayisa et kalo vayif. And he starts to cry. And there Rashi comments, why does Yaakov cry? L'fi she'tzafa b'ruach ha'kodesh she'eina nechneses imo l'kfura. Because Yaakov saw that in the future, she would not be buried with him. Because why? Because where was Rachel? Rachel bought in Hatzon. Rachel went with the children, with the sheep. She went with the little shepherds. She went with the children to Golus. And therefore, she would not be buried with him. And therefore, Yaakov Levinu raised his voice and he cried. Look at the source number 19 of Karp. The Kol Zera Yaakov Avinu Beruach Hakodesh Kisharat Rachel Ba'anatzon Ve'nasas Kolo Vayif. The Fishara Abrucha Kodesh Shalot Sikaverimo, the Kol Zemishim Sharachal Ba'im Hatzon. He saw that she wouldn't be buried with him because she is with the sheep. He Halechas in Halyodim, the Fichach Be'emas Lo Mikvara Imo. Because she went with the sheep, that's the real reason. Because she went with the children. That's why she wasn't buried with him. The Kol Ze'emas Rechon, Uvasiyat Ishmaya, Uvsahani Sha'amit Sasan Sha'at. He said that he thinks that his pshat and his story, Rachel and Leah would agree with. And that's why Yaakov cried. Because he knew that his beloved wife, Rachel, she wouldn't be with him, but rather she would continue on to exile with her children. Sorry. Mama Rachel, 40. Funny. She gave birth to only two of the 12 tribes, yet in our eyes, she is the mother of all the Jewish people. Mama Rachel, our loving mother, still lays buried near Beit Lechem. Today, her grave is included in the city proper, yet it is still far from the grave of her husband. And today, Jews come daily to pour out their hearts to our dedicated mother, because Mama Rachel is listening and always pleading before God on our behalf. This feature, to do what is necessary for the sake of one's children, this is the mark of a Jewish mother. She may stand on the sidelines, yet she remains the true hero. She has no need for public displays of honor. It is for this reason that a mother passes down the Jewish heritage. If a Jewish man marries a non-Jew, his children will not be Jewish. But if the opposite occurs, if a person has a Jewish mother, no matter the lineage of the father, he is Jewish, because a mother gives life to a child, to his essence. And the title Jew is a description of essence. And this is the legacy and the lesson that Rachel left for all of us, for all of the Jewish mothers throughout the generations. Because throughout the generations, Jewish mothers have lived and sacrificed to care and to protect their children. You look in Source 20, Rudolf Huss, the brutal commandant of Auschwitz, noted in his autobiography that time and time again, he witnessed mothers with laughing or crying children who went to the gas chambers. He recalled a young woman who, as she stood at the gas chamber, said, "I deliberately avoided being chosen for labor because I wanted to take care of my children and go through this in full awareness of what was happening. I hope it won't take long." This is the koach of the Jewish mother, to be able to give everything, even her life, for her children. Her ultimate job is to care and to protect them, just as Rachel gave her life to give life to Binyamin and gave her burial place in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah to be there for her children. It is this sacrifice and devotion that is felt by all Rachel's children, and therefore so many come from far and wide to daven and to beg and to plead Mama Rachel to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their behalf. In fact, when the State of Israel was negotiating one of their agreements with the Palestinians following the Oslo Accords, the question came to be, well, what was going to be with Beis Lechem? That's the town surrounding Kever Rachel. That's how you get to Kever Rachel. While we would have rule over Kever Rachel, it was determined that Beis Lechem would be given back to the Palestinians. Now, it would be very difficult to get to Kever Rachel if we didn't have a path to get there. And it wasn't very likely that the Palestinians were going to make it safe or easy to get there. And there was public outrage. People were crying, people were screaming, people were trying to persuade Rabin to keep control of this road. And Rav Lau, I'm not going to read it inside, but Rav Lau, in his autobiography, he writes about how people called him and they asked him to please call Rabin and ask him to please not give up this ability. And he called up Yitzchak Rabin and he said to him, "You know, I have to explain to you what's so special about Kever Rachel. You know, it's a place that when Jewish people, when they have troubles, when they have before an operation, when they're having fertility problems or any issues, what do? They go and they daven there to their mama." And, you know, he listened and he said, "You know, I don't really understand what's so special. You know, we had this synagogue in Yericho that we We let you guys, you know, the Jewish people are being in charge of, yet we gave the area surrounding it back. And he says, no, no, you don't understand. He says, Yericho is a historic synagogue, but this is the tomb of our mother Rachel. And we cannot abandon our mother, right? Mama, this is our mama Rachel, and a person does not abandon their mama. Rachel is our mother who never gave up on us and cared for us, and so we do the same. We never gave up on her, and we fought tooth and nail to keep the ability to go back to her and to daven, that she should daven on our behalf. There's a famous story told of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that when he came to Kever Rachel, he says, Mama, I know the Pasuk says, Mini kolech mivechli, stop crying, hold back your tears. But I beg you, Mama Rachel, vain, Mama Rachel, vain, vain, Mama Rachel, vain, please keep crying for us. Beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf to come out of this exile for Yeshua's and Refuos. Please, Mama Rachel, cry. Cry for us again. And keep on crying for us. And beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return us to our rightful place. And so we ask you, Mama Rachel, to cry for us again. To continue as you always have. To care for us so that Hashem will, Amir Tashem, fulfill his promise of Vishavu Banim Lefulam.
This is the perfect time to tell you that when we have